Hey, good morning and good night, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Tzia, daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the end of the page. Omer Matiran, O Ein Omer Matiran. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, Adli Lishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, also by Andrew Arking, Leila Nishmas, his grandfather, whose eighth Yahrzeit is today, Nisham Shav Naliyah, and also by Shani and Beir Sober, Leila Nishmas, Shani's aunt, Hinda Bas Yaakov, who was Niftar over the first days of Yom Tov, Nisham Shav Naliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is finish up the discussion we were having yesterday about kernels that you put into the ground but have not yet taken root in the ground. So we had three shailas relating to such kernels, and one of them relates to the Karban Omer, which was our massive Daf Yomi coincidence of yesterday, but we didn't really get to discuss that in any sort of detail yesterday. So we're going to pick up with that, and the Gemara is going to discuss whether Bittul Mekach applies to items that Ona'a doesn't apply to, because the Mishnah that we saw had listed a whole bunch of things, Karka and Hegdish, a whole bunch of things that you don't apply Ona'a to. Okay, so you don't apply Ona'a, but what if it's mispriced by way more than 1/6? Do we apply the dinim of Bittul Mekach? Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about when we say that Hekdesh needs to be reimbursed for an uneven pidyon, where Hekdesh gets the short end of the stick on a pidyon, that you need to reimburse Hekdesh, machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is that a din da'oraisa or is that a din midrabanan? And the Gemara is going to have three explanations of what that machlokas is really about, whether it's a din da'oraisa or a din d'rabanan. Then on Amud Bey, the Gemara is going to have a discussion of the Shita of Rav Chista that Hekdish has Ona'a on even less than the sixth. Meaning, when we said in our Mishnah that Hekdish doesn't have Ona'a, it means it doesn't have the normal rules of Ona'a. It has even stricter rules of Ona'a, which is obviously not the pashtus of the Mishnah. It made it sound like there are no dinim of Ona'a by Hekdish. So we're going to discuss Rav Chista's Shita that it means that it has even stricter rules of Ona'a. Bryce is going to mention some concept of ribis relating to Hekdish. So we're going to try to figure out what even is a case where Hekdish would be involved in ribis. What would even be this situation? Then the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to go through the sources for all of the other dinim in the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah had mentioned, in addition to Ona'a, four other dinim that don't apply to avadim and shtaros and karkaos and hekdeshos. We mentioned how kefel doesn't apply, and arba v'chamisha doesn't apply, and shomer china being nishpa doesn't apply, and shomer sacha being mishalim for gnei v'aveda doesn't apply. So where do I know all that from? How do I see that those dinim don't apply to these items, to avadim, shtaros, karkaos, and hekdeshos? So let's pick up again. Four lines from the end of the page, on daf nun vav amud beis. Omer matiran, o ein omer matiran. So the background is that the Torah teaches us, v'lechem v'kali v'chamer lo sochlu ad etzem ayom hazeh, ad aviyachem es karban elokeichem. That one is not allowed to eat tvua chadasha that grew this year until the bringing of the karban omer, which happens on the second day of Pesach. So on the second day of Pesach, when they bring the karban omer, which is what triggers the chiyuv of svi, Omer. So that's when you're allowed to have the new grain that grew that year. So now this wheat that we were talking about that you put back into the ground, Omer Matiran, does the Karban Omer that we brought yesterday, or we would have brought yesterday when there was a base of English, that on the second day of Pesach, is that Matirit, or is that not Ma'oein Omer Matirin, or is that not Matirit? So says Marwal Hechidami, what exactly are we talking about? Ida Ashrosh, if this wheat took root in the ground so before the Karban Omer was brought, so Tanina, that's Beferish in the Mishnah, and Ida Loish Ashrosh, and if they never took root in the ground, Tanina, that's also Beferish in the the Mishnah. Ditnan, because the Mishnah says in Mesachos Menachos, when it comes to the Chameshes Minei Daga that you're not allowed to eat prior to the bringing of the Korban Omer, Im Yishrishu Kodem LaOmer Omer Matiran, that if they took root in the ground before the bringing of the Korban Omer, then the Korban Omer works its magic on it, and that's not called Tvoa Chadasha. The Omer is going to be Matirit V'imlav, but if it did not take root in the ground prior to the bringing of the Korban Omer, then that grain is going to be chadash until next year's Korban Omer. It's going to be also until the following year's Korban Omer. So answer Gemara, lo tzricha dechatzdinu vizarinu kodam lo Omer. Now the case of Rava is that it was something that you had harvested, it was wheat that you had harvested, and then you replanted prior to the Korban Omer, v'asale Omer v'chalafi levayhu. And then the Korban Omer was brought while it was hidden in the ground, while it was buried in the ground. V'lo ashrush, but they didn't take root, kodam lo Omer, prior to the bringing of the Korban Omer. So, ma'al minka tamecho minayu, are you allowed to take that wheat out without violating an isur chadash? Meaning, command the shaydin b'kadadami, while it's in the ground, we just view it as if it's in a container, because it was already harvested wheat, and therefore it's as if you put it in a storage container, even though the storage container happens to be the ground, visharinu omer, and therefore the carbon omer is materit ba'achila udilma batlinu agavara. Or maybe no, now it's considered to be bottled to the ground, it's in the ground, and since it hasn't taken root, the carbon omer is not going to be able to be materit. So that is the shaila, and the Gemara says teku, that the shaila is left with the teku, not just this shaila, but the other two shailas that also were about the same issue, whether you're nishba'in on it, right? Whether because in nishba'in ala karkaos, and whether there's a dinov na'ah on it. All three shailas about such items that were harvested from the ground and then put back in the ground, whether they're considered to be munach bekad or whether they're considered to be in the ground, all three shailas remain a teku. So that closes up our discussion from yesterday. Now, we had said in the Mishnah that el dram that the items that do not have ona'ah, that are not subject to ona'ah, are avodim, shtaros, karkos, and hekdeshos. So amar rava, amar rav chasa, boy ravami, ona'ah ein lahem, bitul mekach yesh lanu ein lahem. When we say that there's no din ona'ah, that means that if it's mispriced by 1/6, we don't say the din of ona'ah. But what if the shir ona'ah is way more than 1/6 of the price? Normally, by a regular case, by hedyot, by metaltalin, the halacha is that the mekach is bata legamri, that you just invalidate the entire sale. Would you say the same thing by karkos and by hekdeshos, that the mekach is bata legamri? Or maybe you say, just like they don't have a din of ona'ah, so too they don't have a din of bitul mekach. What are the two tzadim of the safik over here? Number one possibility is that bitul mekach really works midine mekach ta'us. So even though these items may not be subject to the dinim of ona'ah, they're not going to be excluded from the dinim of mekach ta'us. Or maybe no, maybe since there was no actual ta'us in the cheshbon, it was only ta'us in the pricing, and no one purposely deceived anybody, maybe you don't call that a mekach ta'us. Maybe you only call that ona'ah, and the Torah excludes these items from the dinim of ona'ah. So essentially we want to know, is bitul mekach a function of mekach ta'us, or is bitul mekach a function of ona'ah? Because karka and hegdish doesn't have ona'ah, so does it have bitul mekach? If it's a function of mekach ta'us, it would have bitul mekach. If it's a function of ona'ah, it wouldn't have bitul mekach either. So Rav Nachman hador amar Rav Chasa, that Rav Chasa said that pashal Rav Ami, that Rav Ami had already answered this question, that ona'ah ein lahem, bitul mekach yesh lahem, that it's true they don't have dinim of ona'ah, but bitul mekach it is subject to, and because they're never excluded from the parsha of bitul mekach. Rabbi Yona Amar Ayakdeshos, Rabbi Yirmi Amar Akarkaos. Rabbi Yona says that what we are about to say relates to Hekdeshos. Rabbi Yirmi says what we're about to say relates to Karka, but Vitravai Mishmet Rabbi Yochanan Amru, they both said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ona'ah ein lahem bitul mekach yesh lahem, that one of these items is not subject to ona'ah, but is subject to bitul mekach. One of these items, one of what items? So again, Rabbi Yona said, Hekdeshos, that Hekdeshos don't have ona'ah, but they do have bitul mekach. And Rabbi Yirmi said, karkos. Now karkos don't have anah, but they do have bitul mekach. So man di amar hekdeshos, Rabbi Yonah who and they're both quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yonah who quoted Rabbi Yochanan to say that the din of bitul mekach applies to hekdesh, even though klape hekdesh, which is the mammon of a kadosh baruch hu, you can't say that there was any taus, right? God doesn't make mistakes, but nevertheless mekach taus, it's still considered a mekach taus, and the mekach is going to be batel, the transaction is going to be batel. So if you're going to say that about hekdesh, kol shkena karkos, then for sure you'll say it about karka, right? If you're going to say that there could be a din of bitul mekach even by hekdesh, where there's no taus that's ever made by a kadosh baruch hu, so obviously you're going to say the same thing when it comes to karka. But mandi amar akarkaos, but Rabbi Yirmiyah, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan as having said that there's a din of bitul mekach by karka, aval hekdeshos lo, he probably would not say there's a din of bitul mekach by hekdeshos, because klapei Hashem there is no such thing as a taus, and therefore just like there's no din ona'a by hekdesh, there's no din of bitul mekach when it comes to hekdesh. So the Gemara says that this svara that we gave for Rabbi Yirmiyah, that there's not going to be bitul mekach when it comes to hekdesh, only when it comes to karka, is kiddush Shmuel. That's aligned with Shmuel. Dabar Shmuel hekdesh shavamana shechilal shavaputam. That if you have hekdesh that's worth a mana, that you are mechalel on something worth way, way less, worth only a pruta, the chilul happens, even though it's completely off in terms of the pricing. We don't say a din of bitul mekach because hekdesh is excluded from the dinim of ona'a as well as the dinim of bitul mekach, the din of mekach ta'us. I asked the Gemara on Rabbi Yochanan that it seems to be a stira within Rabbi Yochanan. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Meseches Temura that if someone is mechalel a behemah's hekdesh that does not have a mum, that's right to use on the Mizbeach, and he's mechalel it for a behemah's chulin, that it's lovas of klum, he didn't do anything, because the behema that's royal mizbeach cannot be yotzei l'chulin. If you have a behema that is hooked ashlum mizbeach and nothing happened to it, it's still tamim, it's still perfectly physically able to be used on the mizbeach, you can't be mechal such a behema. But im hayakodesh balmum, but if you have a behemah's hekdesh that's a balmum, then yatzal chulin. Then you could be mechalalit, and it will actually become chulin. And even though the behemah of hekdesh might be worth more than the behemah of chulin that you're transferring its kedusha on, the chilul is still going to work. But v'tar chasos l'damim, you just need to make sure that you reimburse hekdesh. So I have this $500 animal that belongs to hekdesh, but it becomes a balmum, and now I transfer the Kedusha onto another animal that's only a $300 animal. So my initial animal of Hegdish is no longer Hegdish. The other animal, $300 animal, now becomes Hegdish, but I owe Hegdish $200. I need to make Hegdish whole for the discrepancy in value. So on that line in the Mishnah and Temura, we have a Machlokas Amoraim, that Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yatzaluchul in Dvar Torah. The fact that my $500 Hegdish animal is no longer Hegdish, that's a Din Midaraisa. But if it's our class of Sodomim, the fact that I need to reimburse Hekdesh the $200 differential, that's Midavrayim. That's only Midrabbanan. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, Reish Lakish, I'm Afsar class of Sodomim in Torah. The whole thing is a Din Doraisa. The din that if I have a $500, that the $500 animal now becomes chul in his daraisa, like Rabbi Yochanan said, and the din that I need to reimburse the $200 discrepancy is a din mi daraisa, not like Rabbi Yochanan says, because the Torah says when it comes to Hekdesh, it says erkecha, so we darshan that the pidyon needs to be keerko, its actual value. So you need to make up for it in terms of evening out the actual value. So the Gemara explains what exactly is the machloka. As Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, b'maya skinan. What exactly is the case? What is the differential between the value of the hegdish animal and the value of the chulun animal that you were mechal the hegdish on? Where we say that you just need to make hegdish whole again. Ilim b'kdei ona'a. If the differential was exactly 1/6 of the price, ba'alim Reish Lakish Torah Klas Adam Dvar Torah. Can it be that Reish Lakish would say that you need to make Hekdesh Hol on a Daraisa level. Vatnan, that was the Mishnah we had in yesterday's daf. That Elu Dvarim Sheilem Ona HaKarkos VaVadim HaShtaros VeHaHekdeshos. Hekdesh isn't subject to the Dinim of Ona'a. So it can't be that if it was off by exactly 1/6, that Reish Lakish is going to say that Midoraisa you have to make Hekdesh Hol. No, that would just be a Din of Ona'a. Hekdesh doesn't have a Din of Ona'a. So Ella, it must be that we're talking about Bitul Mekach, that it was like the example that I gave, where the discrepancy was much greater than a sixth. It was a $500 animal that you're mechalal on a $300 animal. So it's way more than Ona'a. And Rabbi Yochanan says that there's no din of reimbursing Hegdish on a Daraisa level, only on a Darabanan level. And Reish Lakish thinks such a din exists midoraisa. But Bahalim, Rabbi Yochanan, Tzorich La'asol Sodam, midivreyem. That's where Rabbi Yochanan says that it's only a din midrabanan? Really? But Vam Rabbi Yona, a Hegdeshos, Vyabriyem Yamar Karkos, Vitavai Mishreid Rabbi Yochanan Amri, Yonah, and then according to Rabbi Yona's version of Rabbi Yochanan, there is Bitul Mekach by Hekdeshos on a Daraisa level. So that's our stira in Rabbi Yochanan. That on the one hand, we had Rabbi Yona's version of Rabbi Yochanan, is that there's Bitul Mekach on Hekdeshos. That we do apply a din of Bitul Mekach on Hekdeshos. And yet, the way we're interpreting the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, when it comes to being mechala the behemoth Hekdesh, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Midrabanan, there's a din that you need to reimburse Hekdesh, you need to make Hekdesh whole. But there's no real din on a Daraisa level of Bitul Mekach. Now, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, it's not a kasha, because according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Hekdeshos, Enochinami, do not have a din of Bitul Mekach, and therefore, it's only a din midrabanan that you need to reimburse Hekdesh. So that is perfectly fine according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now, L'chora, the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have just very simply answered over here that when Rabbi Yonah says in Shitas Rabbi Yochanan that there's a din of Bitul Mekach by Hekdesh, he means midirabana, not midoraisa. Right? What's our whole stira over here? That Rabbi Yochanan says you only need to reimburse Hekdesh midirabana when the pricing is way off. And that's a stira to what Rabbi Yonah said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that there's Bitul Mekach. Not necessarily. Maybe when Rabbi Yonah said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, there's Bitul Mekach, he meant Bitul Mekach midrabana, not Bitul Mekach midoraisa. So Tosfos and Tosfos Rosh say, it doesn't sound like it's midrabanan, because it says Ona in lehem Bitul Mekach yesh lehem. That the same way that there's no Ona, there is Bitul Mekach. That makes it sound like all of it is a din doraisa. So if Rabbi Yonah quotes Rabbi Yochanan as having said that there's no Ona, but there is Bitul Mekach, he must mean that there's Bitul Mekach midoraisa. And therefore we have a stira in Rabbi Yochanan, because over here Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you only need to reimburse Hekdesh midrabanan. So says Gemara, li olam bebitul mekach ve'epuch to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. You know what? You're right. We have to switch the shitas of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We must have confused them. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that holds that if you misprice your pidyon of Hekdesh, you take your $500 animal of Hekdesh and you're poded on a $300 animal of Chulin, that the requirement to reimburse Hekdesh, the extra $200, is a requirement midoraisa. That ain't a chinami. Within Rabbi Yonah's version of Rabbi Yochanan must hold that there's bitul mekach for Hekdesh even on a doraisa level. Okay, but be that as it may, whoever holds whichever way, we do have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you need to reimburse Hekdesh midoraisa or only midrabanan. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the nekudas hamachlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you need to be mashlim the extra money to Hekdesh min haTorah or only midrabanan? Now, l'chora, the obvious answer would be that the nekudas hamachlokas is there bitul mekach by Hekdesh or not? Exactly what the Gemara has been trying to drive at the entire time. That was Rabbi Ami Shaila that started off our whole sugya. So the Ritva writes, no, the Gemara doesn't want to say that, because if that were the case, then they should have just said beferish, that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish are arguing whether there's bitul mekach for Hekdesh or not. It's not what they said. They went about it in a much more roundabout way. Oh, there is a Mishnah in Temura that says that if the behema was a balmum, yatzal l'chulin, tzorach chasos l'damim, what does that Mishnah mean? Tzorach chasos l'damim, midoraisa, midoraisa. What a roundabout way of saying that they're arguing whether bitul mekach Shaykh applies to Hegdish, it doesn't apply to Hegdish. So the Ritva says it's too roundabout a way, meaning it's so roundabout that it can't be that that's the Nekudas HaMachlokas. And that's why the Gemara wants to know, so what Taka is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Whether the din that you need to make Hegdish whole, that you need to pay the $200 extra to Hegdish, is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabanan? So three possibilities of what the Nekudas HaMachlokas in fact is. So possibility number one is Bidda Shmuel. They're arguing about the Shita of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Shmuel holds that Hegdish Shav Amana Shechilal Shav Pruta Mechulal. That if Hegdish is worth $100 and you mechal it on $1, that it's Mechulal, that it works. So Mar Islay the Shmuel, the one that says Mido Raisa, you don't really need to make Hegdish whole, it's only a Din Midrabanan, then Mido Raisa, even though there was a massive discrepancy in the price between what used to belong to Hegdish and what now belongs to Hegdish, that Mido Raisa, it's fine, you don't have to worry about it. So and it's only Midrabanan that you need to make Hegdish whole. Islay the Shmuel holds like Shmuel, that you could be Mechal al Mamun of Hegdish, even on things that are worth way, way less than it, even if the pricing is off by way more than a sixth. Now, Shmuel never even mentions that you need to make Hekdesh whole midrabanan. That's what the Tosa Rush points out, that even though Shmuel never mentions that even midrabanan you have to do anything. He just says it works. That's because he's trying to tell me that the being mechalalit works even on a pruta achas. But the Mishnah in the Tzmura, which wants to tell me to be po de shava b'shava, but you may, meaning that Shmuel's case is where you did it on purpose. You purposely were mechalalit on a pruta, on something that you know is worth way less. So maybe in such a case, there is no din midrabanan that you need to reimburse Hegdish. Maybe the din midrabanan that you need to reimburse Hegdish is only like a case in the Mishnah and Temura where you were trying to do even, here's an animal, and you just didn't think to assess the values of the animal. You only realized later that they were off. So that's where midrabanan, the rabbanan are mesakeid, you have to be mekayim what your original machshava was to give Hegdish equal value. So even though Shmuel doesn't even mention midrabanan that you need to reimburse Hegdish, it could be because in Shmuel's case, you did it on purpose. And if you did it on purpose, so you accomplished what you meant to accomplish. But anyway, the shita that holds that you only need to reimburse Hegdish midrabanan must subscribe to Shmuel that things don't have to be even when you're machal Hegdish. Or my last thing to Shmuel, and the shita that holds that you need to reimburse Hegdish on a daraisa level must disagree with Shmuel. Then say that you cannot be mechal al hegdish when the pricing is going to be way off. So that is one interpretation of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish that they argue within Shitas Shmuel. Ibai Seima, or the machlokas could be understood a second way, that the Kulei Alma Islu the Shmuel. Everyone agrees that Hegdish and Shava Mana could be mechulal on that which is Shava Pruta. Vahacha, and over here, when we're talking about being mechalal a behema on another behema that's worth not as much as it, Vahacha Miflugi, what Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish are arguing is the following. The Mar Sover, the one that says, Min HaTorah, you have to reimburse Hegdish for the, you have to make Hegdish whole again, and you have to pay the extra $200 of the discrepancy. Shechilulo in the Chachilulo holds that Shmuel, when he says that if you're Mechalul Hegdish Shavamana on the Shavapruta, that it works. The whole discussion is b'di'evit if you did that. It says, if you have a Hegdish of Mana, shechilul al shavapruta, that you improperly went ahead and were mechalal on a shavapruta, it works, but l'chadchila, you're absolutely not allowed to do that. Torah says, erkecha, so it sounds like there's a requirement that the pidyon needs to be as valuable as the Hegdish. And therefore, even though b'di'evit, if you did it, if you were mechalal Hegdish on something that was worth way less than it, it's going to work, but you're going to have to make up the difference, even min haTorah. It's just that if you don't make up the difference, the chilul happened. But even min haTorah, there's a requirement to make up the difference because you're not allowed to do this. Umar Savar, whereas the shita that holds that you only need to make Hegdish whole on a derabbanan level, but min haTorah you can leave it as is, Savar Avil Chachila, he holds that Shmuel is not just observing what the halacha would be if you did this, but holds that even the Chachila you're allowed to do it, since the Lashon of Erkecha that the Torah says means erech kol shehu. It doesn't mean the actual value. It doesn't have to be worth the same amount as the Hegdish is worth. And therefore, min haTorah, you don't really have to add anything. And even Midrash drabanan, you're allowed to do it lechachila, but nevertheless, lechacham r'machayiv you to be mashlimit afterwards. Meaning the din that you're allowed to make this chilul happen, that's a din that's even lechachila. It's just that the rabbanan then came along and said, okay, you were allowed to do that, but now we're requiring you to make up the difference to pay them back. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos raises the question: how could it be that it's mutar lechachila to cheat hekdesh? I mean, there's such a possibility that I could take $1,000 item that belongs to hekdesh and say I'm hereby being mechalalit on this pen, that's worth 10 cents that you get in a package of 20 of them for an Amazon. So really, you're allowed to, that there's such a possibility that you're allowed to do this lechachila. It's mufurish in Masech Sarach and Daf Chavtes that it's only din b'diavad, not lechachila. And also the Gemara in Arachin says that the Bailim is kodem lekol adam to be poda in order that he should be able to be mosif chomesh, right? Meaning if let's say you have two possibilities of who's going to be poda the hegdish, it's either going to be the Bailim or it's going to be somebody else. When the original Bailim is Poda Hagdash, he has to be Mosef Chomesh. If somebody else is Poda Hagdash, they don't have to be Mosef Chomesh. So we say, Bailim Kodman Kaladam. The Bailim gets first dibs. Why? Because he's going to have to be Mosef Chomesh, and we'd rather Hagdash get more than full value. So you see, we have this interest that we want there to be revach for Hegdish. We want Hegdish to profit. So you can tell me this din lechachila, I could take $1,000 item worth of Hegdish and be mechalel and shav pruta. So the Tosa Rosh is miyashev that the issue to be poda lechachila bepachs mishavya is when there's a Beis Hamikdash around. That if you're poda bepachs mishavya, then you're actually costing Hegdish. But bisman hazeh, where there's no hefsid to Hegdish anyway, because there is no Beis Hamikdash, then you're allowed to do it lechachila. Meaning this din that you're allowed to be poda for less than the value is when there's no avenue to, there's nowhere to drop off the hegdish, because unfortunately there's no Beis Hamikdash to give it to, and hegdish causes us big headaches now, because if you make something hegdish, you got nothing to do with it, and you have to be super careful with it, right? That's why they're makbid that they don't you don't say Pesach Zu at the Seder, right? Because if you can't point to something and call it a Pesach, because that might be they being makbid. That's why some of the Ashkachas used to not say Kosher Le Pesach; they would say Kosher B'Shvil Pesach or something like that. B'Shvil Chaga Pesach or something like that, right? Because they don't want it to make it look like we're saying this is a Pesach. Because once you're Makdish, now what am I going to do with it if I made something? If I made something Kadosh, so that's the answer. Says the Tosaf Rosh. Other Rishonim have different answers, but Tosaf Rosh says that's how it could be that lechatchila you're able to cheat Hagdish, because you're not cheating anybody, because Hagdish is not going to get the money anyway. So that's when there's a din lechalchila to do that it might even be lechalchila. You're allowed to have such a discrepancy. Now the Gemara says a third possible explanation of the machlokes of Yochanan and Shlakish, whether the requirement to reimburse hekdesh is a requirement midorais or midrabanan. That really the machlokes that they had is when the discrepancy in price is exactly 1/6. Velo tepuch, and don't switch around the shitos. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that the chiyuv to reimburse is only midrabanan, and Reish Lakish is the one that holds that it's minat Torah. Rav Chista kemiflegi, and they're arguing about Rav Chista to Amar, because Rav Chista says, "My ein lahamona." What do you think the Mishnah means when it says that hegdish is not subject to ona'a? Enon b'toras ona'a. It doesn't mean that there's no din of mispricing at all when it comes to hegdish. No, it means that it's not subject to the regular dinim of ona'a that you would apply when you were doing a transaction with another person. Rather, the dinim are more chamor when it comes to hegdish. Ta'afilu pachs mikdei ona'a chozer. That even if the mispricing is off by less than 1/6, it's a total bitul mega. Yeah, you have to be machzir the ona'a. So and therefore, Minatora, the guy who's Michal the Hegdish by 1/6, by a discrepancy of 1/6, has to add to that differential in order to make Hegdish whole. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav Chista, and he understands when the Mishnah says that Hegdish Zein La Emona'a, he understood the Mishnah the way we always understood it up until now, that there simply are no dinim of Ona'a, and the Mekach is going to be Kayim. And if you're Michal the Hegdish on Chulin that's with a 1/6 discrepancy, the Chilul is Chal, and Midrabah. Rabbanan, they said, okay, pay back the pay back the discrepancy. But it's only a din midrabbanan. If it were more than a kedeona by the sheer of bittul mekach, then even Rabbi Yochanan would be moda that the whole chil wouldn't be chal like Rabbi Yochanan said in his name that bittul mekach yesh lahen. That if it were more than a shirona, then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that it would be absolute bittul mekach. So this goes back and redraws the whole machlokas that the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Yesh Lakish is not when I took a $500 animal and I was mechalin on a $300 animal, what do I do with the extra $200? No, everyone would agree the whole thing didn't work if you try to do that. You can't that's a bittul mekach. You can't do, when it's off by way more than a six, you can't do that. The whole machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Yesh Lakish was when it was off by exactly a sixth. Do we say that has a din of hona'a? That is and therefore you have to reimburse because when we said that hektish doesn't have a din of hona'a, it means that it's even more strict than dinei hona'a. Or do we say no? It simply doesn't have a din of hona'a, and therefore on the daraisa level you don't need to reimburse. Okay, so now the Gemara says, now that we mentioned this wild cheetah of Rav Chista, right? Rav Chista told me a great chiddush that when the Mishnah says there's no din of hona'a, it means that we're stricter than hona'a. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Ribis for Ona LaHedyot and Ribis for Ona LaHegdish. So it sounds like there's no din of Ribis or Ona when it comes to Hegdish. According to Rav Chista, there is a din of Ona and Hegdish. There's a stricter din of Ona and Hegdish. How can you say that there's no Ona and Hegdish? So says Gemara, well, Mi'alima Mi'asnisin, is the line in that Brisa any more compelling than the line in our Mishnah that said that there's no Ona for Hegdish? And how did we touch up the Mishnah? That there is a din of Ona'a, but it's not the regular din of Ona'a. So, Chadami, you touch up the Brice in the same way that Ribis Vidin Ona'a Lehedyot, Ve'in Ribis Vidin Ona'a Lehegdish. That there's no din of Ona'a for Hegdish, meaning you don't have the normal dinim of Ona'a for Hegdish. Rather, you have entirely different dinim of Ona'a, stricter dinim of Ona'a. If that's the case, that the Brisa means to tell me that by Hegdish, the halacha is that you need to be machzor the Ona'a, even if the discrepancy is less than 1/6, Hainu de Katani Seifa, that's what it says in the Seifa of the Brisa, Ze Chomer Behedyot mi Behegdish, that in this sense, Hedyot is more Chomer than Hegdish. No, according to Rav Chista, this is a Chomer that Hegdish has over Hedyot. A Hedyot, you don't have to add any extra money unless it's off by 1/6, whereas by Hegdish, we're even more machmir, and even if it's off by less than a 6, you have to be mashlim the money. So how can you say that the Brisa means to tell me that Hegdish has more strict dinim of Ona'a than Hedyot if the Brisa in the very next line says, and this is a chumrah that Hedyot has over Hegdish? To the contrary, it's a chumrah that Hegdish has over Hedyot. So says our ribis. When we say it's a chumrah that Hedyot has over Hegdish, it's talking about the din of ribis that the Brisa had also mentioned. The Brisa didn't just mention Ona'a, it mentioned ribis as well. That ribis is not knowing by Hegdish, because in that sense, Hedyot is more chabur than Hegdish. So listening, Nami Zechom Begdish Hedyot Ha'ona, but why doesn't the Brisa also observe that while it may be true that from a Ribis perspective, Hedyot is more chabur than Hegdish, from an Ona'a perspective, Hegdish is more chabur than Hedyot? How come we didn't make that same observation? So it says, well, Hachi Hashta, because it's a faulty comparison. I understand very well the Lashon of the Brisa, as it says right now, of Zechom Behedyot Mibehegdish, that since it's the only Chumrah that Hedyot has over Hegdish, so you could say Zeh Vesulo, Ela Hegdish, Zeh Chomer Vesulo. But if you're going to try to observe the Chumrah, that there's a Chumrah over here that Hegdish has over Hedyot, it would be inappropriate to say Zeh Chomer Behedyot Mibehegdish, because there are a million Chumrahs that Hegdish has over Hedyot. That doesn't take an observation of the Brisa. The Brisa wanted to observe a Chiddush that when it comes to Ribis, there's a Chumrah that Hedyot has over Hegdish. But the fact that Hegdish has a Chumrah over Hedyot, that's not a Chiddush, that's not something that only applies to Ona'a, that's something that's a much broader possibility. So now the Gemara says, okay, wait, we just mentioned in this Brisa that there's no din of Ribis by Hegdish. What would be the case? Hegdish is a money lending business. What's going on? Where would there ever be Ribis going on with Hegdish? Ribis to Hegdish Hechidami. What would be the case where I would think there is Ribis by Hegdish? I need a Brisa to tell me that there's no din of Ribis by Hegdish. Maybe the case is that it's a money lending business, that the Gizbar is lending out, figures, you know, what's the best best way to make money for Hekdish. He's in charge of Mammon Hekdish. He's got a fiduciary responsibility to Hekdish to make sure. And he thinks, how do people make the most money? Well, banks do it by lending X amount of money and taking back X plus whatever. So I'll try the same thing for Hekdish. I'll give out $100 of Hekdish and I'll take back $120. But Valomol Gizbar, if that's the case, the Gizbar already committed Mi'ila, because by lending the money had gone out to Chulin without anyone giving him anything back on the spot. So if you're not Mechalel the money on something, so then it's just a violation of Mi'ila. So even though it's true, Mi'ila is only when we do something B'shogeg, over here he made a mistake, B'shogeg, by thinking it's mutter to do this in order that Hekdish should be able to benefit from the ribbis. That's how Rashi understands, that this is a violation of Mi'ila, because he obviously thought this was mutter. He thought this was part of his fiduciary responsibility to do whatever he can to be able to make money for Hekdish. So he obviously thought this was mutter, but it's Mi'ila because he's taking money of Hekdish, getting nothing back right now. It's in 6 months from now, someone's got to pay him $120, but right now he's getting nothing back. So that's straight a violation of Mi'ila. So it's not going to be. So it doesn't go to Chulin. So Kivin Shemal Gizbar, So Kivin Shemal Gizbar Yotzei Mosav L'Chulin V'Havelu Tehedyot. Well, once the Gizbar violated Mi'ila, the money immediately becomes Chulin, and then it becomes Hedyot. So it's not a halva of Hekdish at all. It's halva of Chulin money. So you can't say that that's what the Brisa means. Meaning when the Brisa says that there's no ribbis for Hekdish, you can't say it's a case where a Gizbar is Bishop lending out money of Hekdish for more money back, because that's not a case of Hekdish anymore. As soon as he starts lending out the money, it becomes a case of Hedyot. So that can't be. So Amrav Hoshayas, Rav Hoshayas says, no, the Brisa is not talking about an actual loan, but Hachamay Askinan, the case of the Brisa is Kigon Shekibel Lav Lesapik Slosos, the Gizbar gave money to a particular supplier, and in exchange for that, that guy is supposed to give solas for Menachos throughout the rest of the year. He's supposed to provide flour for the Kavanas Mincha for the rest of the year. May arba the amdu mishalosh. That originally the price was 4 se'in of flour for each sella of money that was provided to this person, even though they didn't know how much what the prices were going to be. And then at some point later, the prices changed, and you can only buy 3 se'in of flour for a sella. So the gabe ahediot the din would be that you're not allowed to be posek a price in advance before the prices are set, because that's a violation of ribbis. We're going to see that in the next parak, which is going to be all about ribbis and ezu neshech, because the guy got all the money up front to provide the flour, and in exchange for that, he's giving a better deal on flour. So that's that's not okay. So that would be ribbis on a halva of the money, but by Hekdish you're allowed to do that, and that's what the price is saying, that ain't ribbis lahekdish. That if I set a price for the flour by paying up front, even though really I'm getting an exceptional price because I should only be able to get 3 se'in of flour for that amount of money, the guy still has to provide Hekdish with the better price. So the Gemara brings a raya that by Hekdish you're allowed to do this, because it's not, because there's a Mishnah Masechah Shkalim. Hamakabel of Lesapik Slosos Me Arba, if a person has taken upon himself to provide the flour that the Beis HaMikdash needs for 4 se'in for each sella, v'amdu mishalosh, and then the price has changed, that it's 3 se'in of flour for a sella, misapik me'arba. He has to provide based on the price of 4 se'in for a sella. Mishalosh v'amdu me'arba, misapik me'arba. If initially he had agreed to give 3 se'in for each sella, and now flour is much cheaper, you can get 4 se'in for a sella, well, he's got to provide at the current day prices of Yad Hekdish al Eliyona. Hekdish always gets the better end of the deal. So the Gemara brings another explanation for what the Brisa means when it says Ein behekdish din ribis. So Rav Papa Amar Hacha ba'avne binyan hamsuros legizbar askinan. We're talking about the avanim that were given to the gizbar for building of the mikdash, and the avanim were not yet hukdash, and therefore when the gizbar lent when the gizbar lent them, he did not violate mi'ila, and that's what the price is of mechadesh, that the gizbar is allowed to lend it with ribis. And the reason is because the avnei binyan were given to the gizbar before their muktash. Kiddush Shmuel, the Amr Shmuel, because Shmuel said, bonin b'chol v'achar kach makdishin, that first they would build with chul and stones, and then they'd be makdish. So two explanations of what the b'risa meant when the b'risa said that hekdish is not subject to ribis. Either that someone had agreed, that they had made, put an agreement in place for someone to provide flour, and then the price has changed, so even though normally that would be a din of ribis, not over here, or we're talking about with the provision of avnei binyan, that the gizbar is not moel in making the hektish money chulin for the avnei binyan, because the practice was that the avnei binyan were chulin and then they would be makdish it afterwards. Okay, now we go on to all the other dinim it said in the Mishnah that do not apply to avadim shtaros karkos and ekdeshos. So we said ein ben tashlumi kefel, that you don't pay kefel if you stole such things. I mean, anonymously, how do I know that if a person stole avadim shtaros karkos, that there's no tashlumi kefil, the Tanur Rabbanon, because we have a brisa says as follows. The brisa tells us, al kol dvar pesha, the pasuk says klal. That's a klal. Al shor, al chamar, al sal, salma, prat. That's a prat. Al kol, aveda asher yomar, chazar v'kola. So that's a klal. Klal, prat, klal, yadadon, elakin a prat. So we're only including that which, those that which those things that are similar to the prat. So maha prat, just like the items identified specifically, shor, chamor, Seh, Salma, all of those things are meforish dovra metalta the guf of mammon. They're movable objects and they have inherent value. I've called dovra metalta the guf of mammon. So too, paying kefel applies only to things that are movable objects and have inherent value. Yotzu karka l'shein metaltlin. Therefore, you knock out karka because karka is not metaltlin. Yotzu avadim shuk shul karkos. And anytime you knock out karka, you're going to knock out avadim because avadim are hukash shul karkos. Yotzu shtaros shav pisha metaltlin ein guf al mamon. We also knock out shtaros because even though they're metaltlin, they don't have inherent value. And hekdeshos, and the gabi hekdeshos, we know amar kral re'ehu v'lo lehekdesh, that we learn from the word re'eu that the din of kefil doesn't apply to hegdish. Okay, so that's why I know the din of kefil doesn't apply to these four items. But then we said v'lo tashlumi arba v'chamisha, the din of dalet v'hei also doesn't apply to these four items. So my time, why doesn't dalet v'hei apply? Because tashlumi arba v'chamisha marachman v'lo tashlumi shlosh v'arba. Once tashlumi kefil doesn't apply, arba v'chamisha can't apply either, because there's no such din of shlosh v'arba. There's only a din of arba v'chamisha. Then we said that a Shomer Chinam does not swear on that he was, meaning if something happens to Avadim Shtaros, Karkaos, or Akdeshos, that he was supposed to be Shomer, he doesn't have to swear that he wasn't Poshea. Normally, Shomer Chinam has to swear he wasn't Poshea. Minanimili, how do I know that he has no obligation to swear in such cases? Titan Rabbanan, we have a Brisa that says, Darshan's the Psukim, that talk about a shomer chinam. The pesukim say, "Ki ite nishal reyu kesef akelim l'shmar v'gunav mibeisa ish im yimatzei aganav yishalim shnayim." And then it says, "Im lo yimatzei aganav v'nikra balabayis elalim im lo shalach yado b'melachas reyehu." That the shomer has to swear to get out of having to pay. So the b'ris of darshan is a klal l'prat uklal. Ki ite nishal reyehu. That sounds like it could be anything. So that's klal. Kesef o kelim. Prat. So that's a very specific thing. And then maybe the gear says v'gudav mbeisa ish chazor v'kalal. And then we have another klal. So klal prat klal yatodan elokin prat. So what's included in the din of a shomer chinam being nishba v'niftar is only things that are similar to the prat. Ma prat, just like the prat which was kesef v'kalim meforash dovra metaltal v'guf ha'mamun. It's movable items and it's inherently valuable. Af kal dovra metaltal v'guf ha'mamun yasu karkol shen metaltal. So it knocks out karka because that's not metaltlin. Yatsu avadim shuk shul karkos and knocks out avadim because that's similar to karka. Yatsu shtaros shalf pisha metaltlin and guf mamon and knocks out shtaros because they don't have inherent value. And ekdeshos amakor re'ehu v'lo shal hagdish. And ekdeshos is easy to knock out because the pasuk says re'ehu, so not shal hagdish. No sisach re'ehu mishalim. How do I know that a shomer sacher doesn't pay for gnev v'aveda on these items? Minani mili titan rabbanon. We have a brisa. Ki yitei nishal re'ehu klal chamor osher oseh prat. V'kol be'im l'shmar chozer v'cholal. So klal prat v'klal. When you have a klal prat v'klal, yetzal donel kena prat. The din of a shomer sachar having to pay for gnev aveda is only when it's similar to the prat. Ma prat mufurish, just like the prat which was chamor, shor, and seh, is davra mitaltel. It's a movable object, the gufo mamon, and inherently valuable. I've called davra mitaltel the gufo mamon. So it only includes shomer sachar only has to pay for a gneva if it's metaltal in his gufo mamon. Yatsu karkos in a metaltin, which knocks out karka because it's not metaltin. You also avadim shukshul karkos, it knocks out avadim because avadim always has the same din as karka. You also shtaros avshim metaltin in gufo mamon, it knocks out shtaros because even though they are movable, they are not inherently valuable. And akdeshos, how do I know to exclude akdeshos from the chiv of a shomer sachar? Because amakra re'ehu velo shal hagdi re'ehu velo shal hagdish. It says ki din shal re'ehu. So from that, we knock out the possibility of hegdish. Okay, so from tomorrow, we'll pick up at the two dots at the very bottom of the page, Shomer Chinam, Eino Nishba. A good night, everybody. Have a great day.